The midterm elections are over, and today we're going to talk about what happened and what's ahead. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports. Today, I'm joined by Mark O'Connell, the executive director of Wisconsin Counties Association. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Gwen. Very glad to be here and very anxious to talk about what occurred in our recent elections.
And Jerry DeShane, the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Gwen. Glad to be here. Just got back from California, and I want to know, what did you people do?
Well, let's start off with that. So let's start off with the statewide elections. All of the statewide elections went from Republican to Democrat. So the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, which has not been officially called yet, the secretary of state is still Doug LaFollette, and the state treasurer flipped. So what do you guys see there?
It's really amazing. I've often argued that we may be the most purple state in the nation. We're not red. We're not blue. We are both all the time, and we flip back and forth. So it's fascinating to me where we have, let's say, an all-blue constitutional officer flavor and an all-red legislature. It's fascinating what occurred. And then further, not only did all the constitutional officers go Democrat, but in the Senate, the Republicans picked up a seat. And
yes,
and amazingly, in the Assembly, where at, 64 Republican seats, it was almost hard to – I mean, it's very hard to maintain that in any given year. This year, it looks like one seat will be lost. So Speaker Voss is a huge majority at a time when constitutional officers went Democrat. You can't look at the mob at any particular model and say, aha, Wisconsin fit that model. And maybe after the 2016 national elections, maybe there are no more models. I'm not sure. What do you think, Jerry?
I think we're crazy. I just think, or is it that when a Wisconsinite goes into the voting booth, they sort of put a package together? You know, and I know when I marked my own ballot, I was kind of thinking, well, you know, if I did this, then this could happen. I mean, clearly voters were restless with the administration, with the Walker administration. You know, maybe two terms is all you get if you're the governor in Wisconsin.
It seems to be.
But they, at the same time, they say, but, you know, I don't want to hand all my cards over to the Democrats. So I want a balanced legislature. I think we're all political masterminds. That's my conclusion. If you live in Wisconsin, you're a genius. That's my story, and I'm going to stick with that.
So, Mark, as you said, in the Senate, they had held a special election, which Caleb Frostman had won, turning that from a Republican seat to a Democrat seat. But now in the general election last week, Andre Jacques beat Caleb Frostman, so flip that back to a Republican. So we are looking at a 1914 setup in the Senate. And we are looking at, as of right now, 63 Republicans in the Assembly. So those are both controlled by Republicans still.
They are, and it's and those are significant majorities. So there's going to be, I think, some friction points with a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. There were friction points with the Republican governor and Republican legislature. So I think it. A lot of conversation has been had about not turning the clock back and undoing some of the policy changes that Republicans have made. And I don't think that the clock will be turned back.
Right.
I don't think that – I'm not so sure that Governor Evers wants to turn the clock back. But even if he did wish to turn the clock back, it's not going to get turned back.
Right.
So I think we'll focus more on – where are the areas where there can be agreement between our new governor and the legislature? Are we going to have massive tax changes? Highly, highly unlikely. I mean, it's hard to get that when all the various offices are the same party.
Right.
Even more difficult when they're separate. Are we going to have gigantic shifts in public policy directions? I would not anticipate that either. But are we going to have some substantive conversations about changes that were already made? For example, in the juvenile corrections area, where we have made a major shift at the end of last session.
Yes.
Is the governor going to want to do some things in that area? Probably. Does the legislature want to go along with that? Well, the legislature wants to do some things in that area as well. So we'll talk about where those agendas cross, and I think we'll have some very productive conversations. But I wouldn't look for any large scale changes to occur with our new governor and our new legislature.
Jerry, in the last legislative budget, we had big conflict between Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, and even through the session, some of the bill conflicts between them. Are we going to continue to see more conflicts between the House, and how does Tony Evers play into that?
I think you may see a little less conflict between the two houses, only because now they have a common, I don't want to say enemy, common adversary. So I think you will, and a lot of what we're already seeing in the media is statements from the speaker, statements from the majority leader, jockeying for position, kind of putting down markers. And a lot of that is posturing now. Actually, I think this, the election of Tony Evers might be the best thing for Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald's friendship. Because now they have to work together. If they don't work together, I mean, we have a triangle. And whoever has two sides of the triangle is in the best position to win. And I think these two gentlemen are very sharp players. They'll figure that out quickly.
If I were to give Governor-elect Evers advice in regard to this split legislature, I think one thing that could benefit the governor and our legislature, and then therefore the future of the state of Wisconsin, is if the governor recognized that the two leaders in the assembly and the Senate are very powerful folks that have a lot to do with the agenda that we will follow in Wisconsin, and that the two House leaders recognize that Tony Evers is the governor and has an awful lot to say about what gets passed or not passed. So in that regard, if I were going to give Governor-elect Tony Evers any advice, I'd invite Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald out to the residence for, I don't know, twice a week, weekly for sure, maybe twice a week meetings, to talk honestly about what is it we can get done. What areas do you simply not want to talk about at all? I've got a few. You might have a few. That's fine. But what areas do we have where we can, our agendas might cross that we can actually advance and prepare this state for a future that we all desire? I'd highly recommend that. And I suspect that if Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald were invited out to the residence to talk about public policy, they would say yes in a second.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those policy items that both of you would like to see for your organizations when we come back into session in 2019.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common-sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by Mark O'Connell, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Counties Association, and Jerry Deshane, the Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. So, Jerry, why don't you tell me, now that we know what the results of the elections are and 2019 is just around the corner, what are going to be some of the priorities? What is the legislative agenda for the League of Wisconsin Municipalities?
Well, I think the first one, and this ties back to our earlier conversation, is a sustainable transportation budget. And I think this is one thing that Governor-elect Evers, Speaker Voss, Majority Leader Fitzgerald will come to terms on. I don't know about quickly, because there'll be some nuances here and there, but clearly the public has spoken. You know, they want our road system to be sustainable. You know, Wisconsin has a great road system, both locally and at a state level, but it needs to be cared for better than it has. And I think we'll come to terms there. We need to take a look at levy limits, expenditure restraints. All of these state controls over local government decisions are, frankly, reaching the point of doing real damage. And that's going to be a high priority for us, is to talk with the governor-elect, to talk with the legislative leaders, and figure out for those nine cities and villages out of 10 that aren't seeing their budgets meet the rate of inflation, there's got to be something we can do there. And then, of course, the dark store problem is only going to get worse if we don't address it.
How many referenda were held on dark stores?
There were 23. Every one of them passed. Every one of them passed overwhelmingly. There will be no dark store recounts in Wisconsin. What's the number? Something like 80%. There were 800,000 people in Wisconsin that said, fix this loophole.
Okay. And Mark, how about the Counties Association? What will you guys be focusing on?
Well, we'll be working with Jerry on a host of issues. Jerry said transportation near the top of the list. I agree 100%. Dark store issue, that will certainly be an issue. One of the major issues for county government this next session will be child welfare. We've got an opioid and methamphetamine epidemic. I'm not sure if I'd say pandemic yet, but it's an epidemic in this state.
How about scourge? I think scourge.
Scourge. It's horrible. I mean, it has affected our communities. And if it has not affected your family directly, it has affected you indirectly. You know someone or someone knows you that has this issue.
And we did a podcast a couple weeks ago with somebody from the counties, with somebody from one of the local counties talking about the impact that they're having right now.
And while it's all over the state, I mean, you generally might say methamphetamine is more prevalent in some of the rural areas and opioids more where the population is in our urban areas. But it's a significant problem. When we have these opioid and methamphetamine situations in homes, children become at risk. When children are at risk, that is where the county steps in. And so we have removals from homes, we have placement in foster care, we have children need protective services, we have guardian ad litem issues, we have a whole host of issues that fall under this umbrella called child welfare. Now, if any of our listeners say, well, it doesn't really affect me, that's great. You hope you never have to deal with child welfare in your life. But if you do, you are certainly glad that someone like your county is there to take care of this. That's what keeps the fabric of our society woven tightly. That's what keeps Wisconsin such a great place to be. So child welfare is a very significant issue. This is a multiple tens of million dollar issue per year. And that's just getting that, addressing the current draws on resources today. It's hardly even speaking to the issue of preventing in the future. So we've got a major issue in this state when it comes to opioids and methamphetamine resulting in child welfare issues that we're going to have to tackle. Cities, towns, villages, counties, school districts, and certainly the state of Wisconsin.
So one thing that we did a podcast with Kelly Thompson a couple weeks ago to talk about the public defender pay. And since that podcast, it has been in the news several more times. And we have a judge in Sawyer County that is now calling the state public defender into his courtroom to answer for why they can't get attorneys to cover public defenders' cases. This is a big issue for the counties association.
This is a big issue. People have a right to have counsel. That's part of our United States Constitution. We have an obligation in government to provide that counsel. Really, the state of Wisconsin and the public defender program has an obligation to provide public defender counsel to those who qualify. And when we cannot seem to find match up a public defender resource with an individual's need, then judges step in and instruct the counties, well, you're going to find counsel and you're going to pay. We've had recent issues where there have been determinations by the Supreme Court about how much we ought to pay in regard to that counsel. But I think the bigger issue is where the counsel is going to come from. And a public defender's office does not have sufficient resources to have counsel available in all parts of the state to represent people that qualify. It's a very legitimate issue and one that we ought to care about if we care about the laws and having a society of laws and a society of structure, we need to properly resource it.
Jerry, some of the other issues that are going on at the local levels deal with some of the public services that are being offered in communities. Whether it's, as Mark said, that you're dealing with child welfare or you're dealing with police services or you're dealing with human resources and people aging in communities and things like that. What are some of the issues that you guys are having to deal with those right now?
Population really is at the root of a lot of the challenges that are facing Wisconsin communities. Wisconsin is not a highly attractive state, and we need to change that for some very pragmatic reasons. You know, I mentioned the way levy limits work in Wisconsin. If your community's not building new houses, you essentially have no new budget to work with. The little village that I grew up in northeast Wisconsin, their levy limit increase for this year will be $850. Thank you very much. That won't pick up the cost of insurance.
Probably not.
For their half dozen employees or so. And these communities have been living that way for 10 years. But the other challenge that people attraction raises, or the lack of people attraction, is staffing what have been volunteer services. The ambulance system that Wisconsin relies on is very heavily volunteer dominated.
Yes.
It's on the verge of collapse in many areas of Wisconsin.
And some of them are trying to merge with other communities. When I came to the counties or to the league's conference, they talked about some of the communities merging services, you know, sharing a captain and sharing some of the equipment and then having different people at different places that, work together in different communities. How do you go about setting those up with a tax base and who's paying for what and those kind of discussions? How do you start that?
It takes a lot of goodwill and a lot of conversations. Surprisingly, you find that communities like to do things a little differently. Everyone does things a little differently. And you lose sight of that from Madison. So what we're going to be talking to the governor-elect about and legislative leaders is give local governments as much flexibility to structure these things locally as they can. Because what's going to work in Langlade County between White Lake and Antigo, and by the way, they just merged, that's why I use them as an example, is very different than what they'll do on the North Shore of Milwaukee.
Right.
Different worlds. But the reality is we're kind of doing this march toward wheelchairs in Wisconsin. And those folks are going to need services. They're going to need housing.
Right.
You know, go to any community in Wisconsin, they will have a housing shortage of one type or another.
Yes.
They're just not building as much as we used to. And in many places, that's housing suitable for people who are aging but don't want to go to a nursing home.
How many of these issues, specifically merging systems and doing things like that, how many of those kinds of issues are going to require a legislative change or require some kind of change in the statute that lets them merge these systems or look at being more flexible?
To a large extent, local governments have the ability to negotiate intergovernmental agreements. Where the legislature has put the handcuffs on is in how you fund.
Okay.
So if you have two different tax rates, we've run into this. If you have two different mill rates in city A and town B, the Constitution and the law doesn't allow you to merge those two. So what we need from the legislature is flexibility. Perhaps we need to take a look at how we fund local government. Wisconsin is still very unique in our almost exclusive reliance on the property tax. But that's a long-term conversation. Wisconsin is actually fairly flexible when it comes to allowing us to negotiate the agreement. Where we're lacking is in how we allow ourselves to fund the agreement.
I think what Jerry pointed out, it's one of the primary issues that we in local government and the state of Wisconsin ought to be worried about and thinking about if we want to position our state for future success, and that is population demographics. We are getting old really, really quick.
Other people are getting old. I'm not getting old.
Well, that's true. Maybe not.
You're the only one in this room that's aging at all, Mark.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're not getting old. You're getting smarter, but you're not getting older. But we're getting old really fast in this state. If we want to grow, we're going to have to draw in a new generation of wealth makers, a new generation of younger people, either grow them or draw them in, more likely both. In order to do that, we need to invest in our communities to make them attractive to the smart young talent. It's not rocket science. I mean, there's a reason that Austin, Boston, Seattle, Washington, I mean, these places are growing. They're attractive to smart young talent. So, but how do you get that? Well, when you look at what smart young talent desires, about 80% of what they desire are things that we at local government do to invest in our communities and make them attractive. Well, how do we make that investment? Well, in our case, since we're largely reliant upon property tax, it's very difficult. So in our case, we have levy limits. We have a property tax problem in our state, and that's legitimate. We do. Property taxes are significant and certainly were in the past. We decided to solve it by putting a freeze on property taxes, a levy limit, levy freeze, basically, except for new construction. Well, there is no example of a permanent cap, restriction, freeze, limit being successful in capitalist societies in the history of capitalism. Mm-hmm. And we in Wisconsin are not going to be the first ones to prove that it was wrong. So long term, it has to change if we want to position our state for future success and have the attractive communities that we desire in local government, but that our new generation of wealth makers also desires to, so that the, we want to make them want to come here. Or if we grow them here, we want to make them want to stay. And when we look at demographics, and maybe that's a subject for a future podcast, we recently did some work here at the association on statistics and modeling. People are moving out of northern Wisconsin. They are moving to some of the urban areas, but it's not just by a little. It is by a lot. You only need to go to almost any business in northern Wisconsin and ask, do you have enough people to staff your business? And the answer is
no.
98% of the time, no. This is a significant problem. And if we don't have the people that are available to employ and create wealth and increase our per capita income, we've got some future we have to talk about in this state.
It's interesting, and it's even down to the most almost invisible levels that this workforce shortage is hitting us. The Department of Workforce Development has identified sewer system operators as an area of critical workforce shortage. Now, we could spend all day and tell a lot of really bad jokes about that, but think about that. A system that we, for 30 years, have absolutely taken for granted. There just aren't enough people to keep that system running. And those are complex systems. We've just been spoiled. And that's, I mean, Mark is right. People want to live in urban areas, and our smallest communities are challenged, and we're not going to levy limit ourselves to success.
Well, those of us who live in the country already take our trash to the dump on Saturday mornings and pay by the bags. So we'll see what happens. Stay tuned. There's more to come. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the extraordinary session that's coming up.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
You're listening to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guests are Jerry DeShane, the Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, and Mark O'Connell, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Counties Association. So we have a extraordinary session, which means it's a session being called by the legislature, not the governor. Everyone likes to say special session, but the governor calls a special session. This is an extraordinary session called by the legislature.
And all of your listeners just went, huh?
I know. It's one of my pet peeves, though, when I watch the news and they keep saying special session because this is not being called by the governor. So they're talking about making some changes to what the governor is allowed to do in terms of appointments to boards, lengths of terms of boards, codifying some rules on photo ID for elections, talking about some other issues that are going on. What are you hearing, Mark?
Well, two things. Because when you listen to this podcast, you get smarter, as I mentioned earlier.
You get older, session, but smarter.
Special session by the governor and extraordinary session by the legislature. It's one of your pet peeves, Gwen. It's one of my pet peeves when we talk about conceding or concessions or conceding on election night. It doesn't matter if you concede or not. It's not like you can take yourself off the ballot. It's not like you can say, when I found out when we counted the votes, I actually won, but too bad I conceded earlier in the evening. Now I didn't get the office. That's not how it works. So conceding is irrelevant. It means nothing. It's entertainment. It's all it is. So we're having this event in Florida right now, or I guess, in the middle of our podcast, listening, where one of the candidates for the Florida governor conceded, well, maybe I'll take back my concession. It doesn't mean anything. There's nothing to take back in any event. What are we hearing about it?
Now that we've got his dander up.
That's right. Extraordinary session. I think people are getting more excited about this than they really should. Some folks are going to want to paint this as, this is a gigantic grab of power by the legislature away from the governor. I don't think we are anywhere close to those kinds of words describing this possible extraordinary session. We're more likely there's going to be codification of some of the things that were enacted by executive order. The legislature is simply going to memorialize those in law. I think it's highly, highly unlikely if we were going to, let's say we're going to take the extreme. The governor is going to appoint no more secretaries of departments. We're going to put it in the hands of the legislature. Would Governor Walker really sign that? No, he would not. I mean, I don't want to predict what the governor would do or not do, but I can't imagine for the life of me any governor would want that as a legacy that they, you know, gave away power in the governor from the governor's office. So people should not get too excited. I don't think there's going to be anything brand new that we haven't heard before, that we haven't seen before, or that we're not actually operating by right now. So I would, my recommendation would be just settle down. Let's see exactly what
this
what
is
the legislature's
Aaron Rodgers
gonna look at. Relax. Just relax. The legislature, I mean, Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald, they're smart people, but they're also very reasonable people. So we will, you know, relax. People should relax.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Mark and I will, for the first time ever, disagree just a little bit here.
Okay.
I think what you're seeing is the ground shifting beneath the Republican majority. All of a sudden, and I'm not sure Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald saw it coming, all of a sudden they don't have their backstop. You know, the governor is gone. Mm-hmm. So the triangle, the dynamics are different. And they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we deal with that? Voter security was a big deal to Republicans. And, you know, the governor, I don't remember all the details anymore of the whole photo ID executive order, but they have realized that executive orders generally dissolve when the governor walks out the door. So it's important. Is it, can they go too far? And this is where I kind of come back to Mark. No, they can't, they won't go too far. I think you already saw in the more recent media comments over the weekend that the speaker was saying he'd been, you know, you nasty media people had been exaggerating what he was saying. So I think he's backing off just a little bit. But this is part of the new dynamic. It's part of figuring out how these three are going to work together. And, you know, the Republicans are saying, okay, what do we need to do to give ourselves the strongest possible position? And this extraordinary session is a part, is an important part of that for them.
You know, I think one of the, aside from extraordinary session, one of the major issues going on right now as we speak is the forming of the cabinet by Governor-elect Evers. And I'm not so sure how much thought went into that prior to the election. Probably not a whole lot because the election was very much in question. And it was a very small group of advisors that Governor-elect Evers had during the election. So now post-election, there's a mad scramble to determine what talent is out there and available and desired or desires to be part of the Evers administration. I mean, I think the Governor-elect wants competent, capable, managerial-like people heading up all the departments. But there's only so many of those folks around. So lots of conversations are occurring right now to try to get a team in place. This extraordinary session, it's going to, well, grab some headlines for a little bit and it'll be a topic of conversation in talk circles. But I think the bigger issue is the forming of the cabinet.
And on that, Mark, I agree with you 100%. That's the most important game in town. The governor-elect, spoke to the league's annual conference just a week before the election. And almost all of his comments were focused on that transition period. So, you know, obviously he was still running for office, but you could see that his mind was there. He was talking about involving local government in some of those conversations. So I've been through a number of these transitions. It is a mad scramble, and believe it or not, it's harder than it may appear to find good quality people to serve in those important cabinet spots. So,
well, it's going to be interesting. We have had single party rule in Wisconsin for 10 years. We had 2 years of complete Democratic rule, followed by 8 years of complete Republican rule. And there are a lot of legislators, a lot of staffers who have never had any kind of split government. So this could be interesting to see some of how they work through this process. That's the end of today's podcast. I want to thank you guys for coming. For additional information or links to anything, you can go to thewheelerreport.com and check out the podcast details. I want to make sure that you know you can catch us on community radio, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, radio. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperation between the Wheeler Report, the Wisconsin Counties Association, and the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. And I would just like to end today's podcast by recognizing my dad, who passed away 7 years ago yesterday. And he's the one that brought me into this business 23 years ago.
And we are glad he did. And we are thankful every day for what Dick Wheeler has given to the state of Wisconsin. We have the pioneers who began this state, we have our forefathers, and you have to put Dick Wheeler into that category.
And he was just one of the best people ever. I loved sitting outside while he smoked his pipe, and he kind of told me what was really going on. As a lobbyist for 30 years, he was one of the most important people in the building.
You could go outside and you might say, I'm going to go outside and have a conversation with Dick. But really, you would go outside and listen.
if you were smart, you would listen. Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys.